This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Okay, so you probably have no idea what this is, and that's okay. The music that you're hearing right now is actually from an ad that KFC ran in Hong Kong promoting edible nail polish back in 2016. Yeah, it sounds like an April Fool's joke, which I guess is what's so appealing about the whole thing. The nail polish came in two flavors, original and spicy, of course. So basically, your nails would taste like KFC chicken if you licked your fingers. Finger licking good, right? Now, the ad itself is pretty standard, trendy stuff. A guy and a girl are dancing and beatboxing, and the tune is repetitive enough to get stuck in your head for a while. It's actually a pretty genius idea. The campaign did pretty well, and people still talk about it today as one of the best publicity stunts a company has ever pulled. And that's what today's episode is all about. Good publicity and PR stunts that had positive returns for a company. Because here's the thing, we only ever really talk about the good stunts that worked because, well, when a publicity stunt fails, no one really cares, right? It's just really awkward and also very, very costly for the company. A good publicity stunt takes patience, a lot of planning. And if all of these things align and your campaign is executed well, the results can be insanely beneficial to your brand and have long-lasting effects, positive long-lasting effects for your company. This is Five for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and today's episode is called The Power of Publicity Stunts.
Number one.
Okay, let's not go too far for our first successful publicity stunt. This one is one of my favorites, and it happened very recently. We even covered it on BizBytes, Enterprise BizBytes, and it revolves around a company called Ivory Lane that was set up in Singapore. Now, Ivory Lane was selling ivory, obviously, as the name implies, that was handed down to the founder by her grandparents and great-grandparents, which technically means that the ivory was obtained before laws were imposed banning the trade of such goods in Singapore. So the company basically took advantage of a loophole in the system and was able to sell and trade what is essentially an illegal product taken off an endangered species of animal because they were produced or procured in a time when it was okay to own these things. Obviously, Ivory Lane's social media sites got slammed with complaints by angry citizens or netizens asking for the company to be shut down. So all of this stuff got a lot of traction online, and some news sites picked up on the controversy. A lot of people from neighboring countries like us swooped in and got angry alongside the Singaporeans. And that's when this huge plot twist happened or was revealed. A couple of days after Ivory Lane was established, WWF Singapore came out with a statement saying that Ivory Lane was a fake company set up by WWF to create awareness for the loose laws and regulations surrounding ivory trade. I mean, if you look at Ivory Trade's logo now, it all makes sense. It's black and white, and some of the statements made are designed to get a reaction out of whoever's reading it. WWF wanted to make a statement saying if Ivory Lane was an actual company that did actually sell ivory that was procured before the ban, they might actually have a case against newer laws, which is scary and also exposes these giant weak spots in laws regarding animal rights in this region, specifically Singapore in this case. Now, WWF is not new to the whole publicity stunt game. They are behind probably the biggest or probably the most widespread publicity, marketing, PR stunt on the planet, which is Earth Hour. So, Earth Hour began in 2007 and managed to get 2.2 million people to turn off all their non-essential lights in Sydney, Australia. Then the next year, the trend went global, right? The Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco went dark, Rome's Colosseum turned off its lights, and by 2015, 172 countries and 10,400 landmarks took part in the movement, and there were about 7 million digital interactions that same year. And it's for a good cause, so you know that makes it even better. So in terms of creating awareness on a massive scale through a PR stunt, it's really hard to top WWF with what they've done so far.
Number 2.
So while WWF usually executes their campaigns by targeting a person's moral compass and their sense of right and wrong, others execute pretty good marketing campaigns by trying to solve pain points that are shared by a massive, massive group of people. See, the idea of a tourism board is to get the attention of a global audience, which is ridiculously difficult because of language barriers and different sentiments across different countries and continents. So in 2009, Queensland's Tourism Board decided to play to a pain point that everyone could relate to, and that is their jobs. Now, the truth is, not everyone hates their jobs. A lot of people actually love doing what they do, but most people have similar ideas of a dream job, right? Which is basically something that pays well, has a bunch of perks and benefits, and doesn't need you to do anything, like an island caretaker. Now, you're probably asking, what is an island caretaker? Well, it's pretty much what the name implies. You get a whole island to yourself, your expenses and food are taken care of, you have the best view and weather in the world, and your job is literally to sit on an island in the Great Barrier Reef, write one blog post a day, and enjoy the sun and the waves while you're at it. So that's exactly what the Queensland Tourism Board did. They opened up the job listing of Island Caretaker, also known as the best job in the world, to everyone above the age of 18 from anywhere in the world. It ended up receiving 34,000 applications from nearly 200 countries in just 6 weeks, and overall it reached about 3 billion people worldwide, making it one of the most successful PR campaigns of all time. A guy by the name of Ben Southall won the competition. I think they documented it on Nat Geo or Discovery Channel or something. It doesn't really matter though, because Tourism Queensland is the real winner in this whole scenario. They pretty much crushed the game altogether, giving everyone a lesson in marketing in the process. Stick around, we'll talk more about marketing, PR, publicity stunts, whatever you want to call it. We'll talk more about those when we come back. Five Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
You're still tuned in to Five for Fortune. If you're listening to this on the airwaves, and if this is a podcast, then you're still streaming Five for Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and today's episode is all about the power of publicity stunts and the positive returns it can have for a brand if the campaign is a success. Now, a lot of marketing experts love to use the term go big or go home, right? And when it comes to publicity stunts, that is true. The goal is to go viral or to engage as many people as you possibly can to create brand awareness. Case in point, Oprah Winfrey's famous car giveaway.
Who will it be? Are you ready? Hold on. Are you ready? JR is back in our audio booth. I want, you know, JR, this calls for a drum roll. Cue the drum roll. All right, open your boxes. Open your boxes. 1, 2, 3.
Huge publicity stunt, right? Everyone remembers this. She gave everyone in the audience a brand new car. But what most people don't know is what car it was. I think it was, I want to say Pontiac? I can't be 100% sure, and that's the problem. It was a publicity stunt gone wrong. Not for Oprah, you know, it did wonders for her career. It cemented her as a staple in pop culture. But it did nothing for the car company that literally sponsored all these vehicles for the audience. I mean, Oprah didn't buy those cars. It was a big advertisement for the car company, and no one remembers what cars they were. That's what happens when you don't think your campaign through. Anyway, here's how you do a publicity stunt the right way. Send a giant inflatable duck down the River Thames. That's number 3 on today's list.
Number 3.
There's a line that goes, blow it up and float it down the Thames. It's one of the biggest PR cliches because of how many brands have done it, because of how easy it is to do. Some people call it lazy, some people call it predictable, but it's also effective, which is why people keep doing it again and again. Now, you've probably seen pictures or videos of a giant inflatable rubber duck floating down the Thames before, and that's thanks to a company called Jackpot Joy in the UK. Back in 2012, when they launched something called Facebook Foundation, which is an initiative to reward people who do silly things to make other people happy. And what's sillier than a giant yellow duck floating down the Thames, right? The campaign was a giant duck-sized success too. It worked. You know, it captured the attention of people passing by, it got people talking, it gained social media traction in a time when social media was a lot less crowded, and it's the most memorable Thames stunt so far. But, that being said, Jackpot Joy were not the ones who invented the stunt. The people who came up with such a ridiculous, over-the-top idea were actually representing an equally over-the-top, larger-than-life personality, Michael Jackson. Back in 1995, the King of Pop was about to debut his new album called History, and Sony pumped $30 million into a promotional campaign to float this huge statue. You would have seen the statue. It's the one of him standing tall, striking a pose from the Dangerous album. They wanted to float this statue down the River Thames. There were a total of 9 statues throughout Europe. Each statue was 10 meters tall, weighed about 2,100 kilograms, and was made of steel and fiberglass. And that's where the saying "floated down the River Thames" came from. It's a staple response during these PR agency brainstorms, and it frequently pops up when there are no more ideas to float around.
Number 4.
Hollywood is probably extremely familiar with PR stunts by now. They've tried so many things over the years to promote movies and TV shows and all sorts of projects. The problem with Hollywood is that because of how bizarre it is as a culture, you know, because movies are make-believe and a lot of them deal with fantasy and science fiction, most publicity stunts are effective but end up being nothing more than good advertisements in the end. It's like one big out-of-studio trailer for these companies. It's easy to spot a PR stunt for a movie because of how much it stands out. That's why when The Blair Witch Project came out in 1999 after a perfectly executed marketing campaign, it was a massive worldwide success. See, back then, people were unfamiliar with viral content. There were no real social media platforms, there was no YouTube, nothing to spread your content to a massive global audience. The people behind Blair Witch were one of the first people to employ the viral marketing method by using guerrilla word-of-mouth tactics to get audiences to watch their movie. If you haven't seen it, The Blair Witch Project is a low-budget horror movie that uses the handheld camera technique back when camcorders were still a big deal. So a group of teenagers go into the forest with their cameras, weird stuff happens, horror ensues, you get the picture. Now, this was before Paranormal Activity and all those other handheld stuff that we have now, the quarantines and records and all that stuff. Way back then, no one had seen a movie that was shot like this. So the filmmakers sent these VHS tapes or videotapes to colleges and high schools with these very disturbing videos of teenagers who basically filmed themselves in the woods or in the forest and how they encountered the mysterious figure that lived there. To make things more realistic, all of the actors were complete unknowns with no film credits. They also printed these missing persons posters and circulated them. The studio pretty much blurred the line between what was real and what was not. And a lot of people started to believe that they were actually watching the found footage of tapes of these teenagers who went missing when looking for this Blair Witch. For the time, it was crazy, you know, it was insane. The movie did really well because of all the hype surrounding it. $150 million worldwide, which back in 1999 was a huge, huge haul for such a small, low-budget movie that used these genius tactics to get people into cinemas. Now, our fifth publicity stunt is something that you probably remember. It is Red Bull Stratos Space Jump, where they send someone diving down. Now, I could make all the this publicity stunt was out of this world jokes, but that would be lame, so I won't. It was literally out of this world, though.
Number 5.
So, back in 2012, Red Bull decided that they wanted to execute the biggest publicity stunt of all time by dropping someone, a daredevil by the name of Felix Baumgartner, from space, or from the Earth's stratosphere, more like. And so they did. You can still look for the clips online. They're all there. 8 million people hopped onto YouTube's live stream. 8 million concurrent viewers on a YouTube live stream to watch the whole thing happen. So they launched him into space. Suit decked out with Red Bull logos. Shuttle decked with Red Bull logos. They launched Felix into space and he dove from his shuttle 23 miles from the Earth's stratosphere, becoming the first person to break the sound barrier without the help of a machine. This is an example of a company and a product that knows its brand pretty well. Red Bull is that boost you need. It's the adrenaline, it's high octane, it's daring, bold, groundbreaking, record-breaking, over the top, over the edge. We did because we can kind of brand. And if they were not all that before, they turned into all those things after this stunt. At the end of the day, it's just an energy beverage. But when you are associated with a record-breaking space jump that has 44 million views on YouTube on one channel and a reach of probably a billion plus across all media all over the world, then you become solidified as a brand that will be remembered. And that is the mark of a good publicity stunt. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode. If you miss any parts of the show, you know what to do. Just download the BFM app, available for free on the Apple App Store, or you can get it on Google Play Store and stream/download it there. This has been Arvind Nivaraj on 5 Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.